This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Wisconsin's 94th Assembly District in La Crosse County is made up of suburban communities and rural farmland. Right now, there are two candidates who think they can best represent the residents of Onalaska, Holman, West Salem, and Bangor. Democratic incumbent Steve Doyle is being challenged by Republican Tracy Happel in the upcoming midterm elections on November 4th. Both candidates are from Onalaska, and they're both in our studios today to talk about some issues in the upcoming election. They'll each have about a minute and a half to answer the question. Steve called the coin toss first and decided to go second. So, Tracy, I'm wondering if you can just first start out by telling us a bit about yourself and why you're running for the 94th Assembly District seat.
Sure. Thanks for having us here today.
Of course.
I appreciate the opportunity. It's wonderful. I'm running because it's the next level in what I want to do. I've been a public school teacher for 23 years. Survived Act 10, I guess I could say, and all that went around. I've been involved in various political goings-on throughout my life and my career, my professional career. I've lived in different areas throughout my life as well, and I feel I can represent the 94th pretty well.
And Steve Doyle?
Thanks, and I also want to thank Public Radio for hosting this. I appreciate the opportunity. I was born and raised in La Crosse County, all within about 10 miles of where I actually grew up. And this is where I call home. This is where my wife and I got married, where we raised our two children, where I have worked my entire life. And I believe that I represent the people, not just represent them in Madison, but represent the most common aspects of our people. I mean, we're hardworking. We try to get along with each other. We try to be respectful. We try to do things together. We try to be fair. And most importantly, we try to listen. And that's really what I have tried to bring to my representation, first at the county board level and now at the state assembly level. And that's what I hope to continue to do.
So, Steve, if you were reelected, how would you either continue to or how would you change how you best represent the residents of the 94th District?
You know, I don't think I would really change anything because unlike some politicians that go out and they make a million promises and you really don't ever expect them to follow through, I have always made just one promise when I have run for state office, and that is that I would work in a bipartisan manner to try to get things done. That does not mean I will be a Republican. I mean, I am a Democrat. My definition of bipartisanship is that I will work together with the two parties to try to get things done for the betterment of our community and of our state as a whole. In that regard, I have co-sponsored each of my two sessions in the legislature, an equal number of Democratic and Republican bills, because nobody has a monopoly on the best ideas, and I'm happy to, you know, align myself with whoever has a good idea on whatever particular issue is at hand. Secondly, I think the fact that I have worked well with both parties is why in this last session I had one of only 31 Democratic bills that passed. I had the only jobs bill that was a bipartisan bill that passed. And it was kind of interesting because a lot of Republicans came up to me and said, you know, don't normally want to support a Democratic proposal, but we like the fact that you've worked with us. And we feel comfortable voting for your bill. And that made me feel good because that's really what we should be there for, is not advocating for a particular party or a particular ideology, but advocate for the people and the state as a whole.
So, Tracy Happel, if you were elected to the 94th District, how would you best represent the residents of the 94th?
Being elected for the 94th, I would continue to listen to the residents in the 94th. I'm out doing doors almost every day, and I'm hearing a lot of different issues come up, a lot of interesting viewpoints, a lot of interesting ideas that are coming out, and I would take that to Madison with me and say, this is what the people of the district want. Being an assembly person is about the people, about the district, not about party lines at all. So focusing on the people who live here and what they want best for their families and for their community.
So let's talk first, as we dive into the issues, about the state budget. Right now, there seems to be a big difference of opinion on how people view and talk about the state's deficit. I'm wondering, Tracy, how do you view the state's budget situation? And if elected, how would you address it?
Well, the very first thing with the deficit is that we can't raise taxes. We've done a great job at the state level of lowering taxes and having a fair share for everybody. We need to continue working on that. We've had some great things in place. When Governor Walker came in, he came in under a $3.6 billion deficit with the Doyle administration left for him. He has since turned that around with the help of Act 10 and some other cuts in revenue incomes to turn that into a $300 million surplus. All without raising taxes, as a matter of fact, lowering taxes. We just need to continue doing what we've been doing and then look at some other ways that we might be able to save taxpayers money and get that money back into their pockets.
And Steve Doyle, how is it that you are viewing the way that people are talking about the state deficit? And if reelected to the legislature, how would you handle this?
Well, people are concerned. When we had the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is a very respected nonpartisan government entity, say, you know, that we are facing a $1.8 billion projected deficit, that gets people's attention. And what does that mean? Is it going to be a drastic cut in services? Is it going to be taxes dramatically raised? And I don't think that we can really do anything dramatic. I mean, I think that we need to take a measured, thoughtful approach to dealing with the situation. I don't think that there is an appetite in our state at this point to look at raising taxes or fees. I think that we have to be creative, which is what we did at the county level when I was county board chair, trying to figure out, you know, new ways to partner with the private sector or nonprofit organizations or other municipalities and so forth. You know, so I think that we have to, you know, look for new ways to make do with the amount of money that we have. But I also think that we have to recognize that it is a situation that can't be ignored. We can't just hope that we get to the end of this biennium and have money in the bank. I mean, there's a rainy day fund that won't go very far if, in fact, we have a $1.8 billion deficit. So I think both parties need to sit down and say, okay, we have this issue. What are we going to do? And then from there, we got a lot of smart people in the legislature. Hopefully we can figure it out.
So when you look forward to future budgets in Wisconsin, Steve Doyle, what are some of your budget priorities? Are there certain programs that you see as important to be funding? Are there other programs that you think deserve less funding?
Well, there's three things that I think are really important priorities. Number one priority would be public school education. Number two would be transportation. And number three would be economic development. Let me talk about each of those for just a moment. Public school education, I think, is really critical because that's the investment in the future. If we shortchange our kids, we shortchange our future. And I was very concerned when in the previous session we had dramatic cuts to public education, and we saw that we no longer were the shining star of the country in terms of people looking to us on how to do public education, but rather we were looking at, you know, more along the lines of the race to the bottom. That's not the Wisconsin I grew up in, and that's not the Wisconsin that we want to have for the future. So we need to look at restoring, and not necessarily every dollar, but we need to look at restoring a solid educational base to both K-12 and for higher education. Transportation is one that's a tough one because there's not enough money coming in at this point, and neither party wants to go first saying, well, maybe we need to raise this fee or this this charge or whatever the case may be. The governor had a study committee looking at those issues. When that recommendation came back, it was basically dead on arrival. We need to sit down, and both parties actually have to show some backbone in how we're going to deal with that situation, because our roads are not going to get any better, and that is really how we get our products to market and how we have economic development in this state.
And Tracy Happel, as you look into the future, what are some of your budget priorities, and are there things that deserve more funding or less funding?
Being a public school teacher for over 20 years, education is definitely at the top of my list. With the Act 10 that's the state introduced a few years ago, we have been able to see a wonderful opportunity for schools to use money a little bit more, with a little bit more flexibility. West Salem School District right here in our own district had quite a surplus. It was able to purchase a bunch of laptops for their students and enhance education that way. We've also heard about schools in other areas of the state that have had a surplus in their budgets and have been able to provide more for their students and for their schools. The other issue is transportation. It's a huge conversation piece on both sides, as Mr. Doyle pointed out too, that it's there's a lot of controversy surrounding transportation. The biggest issue is again, under the Doyle administration, they raided the transportation fund by $1 billion. And there's new legislation with the Republican Party that to stop that raiding of funds and keeping money that is allocated for programs within those programs. And we need to continue doing that, keeping money in the program that it's designed to be for.
Could I just respond very quickly?
We're going to have time for a rebuttal at the end if you want to save your time for a rebuttal at the end. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, the 94th State Assembly District Candidate Forum with Democratic incumbent Steve Doyle and Republican challenger Tracy Happel. They'll face off in the November 4th election. Tracy, in your role as a legislator, if you were elected, how would you work to improve the region's economy?
Our region is beautiful. We have a very unique area to live in. It's, you know, the Driftless region. Those of us who live here know this. The tourism board is working really hard to get people here to our area, continue working with the Department of Tourism, continue working with our local people who have these farms and bike rides and parks, and just continue to develop our area and to market it out to not only other people in our state, but also people around the country coming to visit La Crosse for our festivals and our cultural celebrations. I think we have a beautiful area to live in, and we can work hard to make other people come here and visit us.
And Steve Doyle, I'm wondering if you can maybe reflect on your time as a legislator. What have you done to work to improve the 94th District's economy, and is there more you would do if reelected?
Absolutely. And on the last question, a comment that I wanted to add was that the proposal for not raiding the transportation fund was actually a bipartisan proposal. I supported it. People have a chance to vote on it this fall in our election. With regard to the local economy, you know, we're really unique in western Wisconsin. We have three institutions of higher education. We have two medical facilities here in La Crosse County. We have a diversity of employment, and we need to make the most of those kinds of things. I'm a member of the Tourism Committee. We have really tried to work on a number of different initiatives, the Silent Sports Initiative, for example, and the remodeling of historic buildings and giving tax credits for that, because that really is something that has piqued people's interest and has brought them into our community. I had, as I said, a jobs bill that came out of a discussion that I had with Western Technical College in terms of taking an existing program that we had, change the definition of what it could be used for to immediately create jobs. And Patty Balasek from Western Tech said, you know, if we pass this bill, within a very short time, I have six employers, at least, that can use these grants and create jobs right now here in Western Wisconsin. That bill passed, and they're in the process of doing that as we speak. So that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. There are so many different things that we need to do. Government doesn't create jobs, but government can help the private sector create jobs, and that's really what it's all about.
So the next question kind of expands upon that. How do you describe the job situation currently in the 94th District? What more can be done, and what has been done?
Well, in the 94th District, we, at least in recent years, have had a little bit better unemployment rate than the rest of the state, again, because of our diverse economy that we have in western Wisconsin. In some respects, one of the best things that we can do is to get out of the way, and what I mean by that is look at our various regulations that apply to businesses, and in particular small businesses. That was one of the things that we did in this last session in the legislature, was literally go line by line through the administrative code to make a decision. Do we need this particular regulation? Do we need that particular regulation? And we did get rid of some things already in that regard. The other thing, though, that going back to my days on the county board, that I really would like to see the state do more of, and that is to offer to be a partner. You know, I was approached by the Brickell brothers when they were looking to expand in West Salem, and Carl Brickell sat me down and said, you know, Steve, you got this Lakeview farm over there. That would be a great place to have a business park, and we would really like to expand, and we would be happy to be the anchor tenant, Select Trusses, in there. And so we worked with LADCO and Xcel Energy and CenturyTel, La Crosse County did, to create that business park that then created hundreds of jobs already. You know, so working together and looking for those opportunities to partner, to make it a win-win type of opportunity, I don't think we do enough of that at the state. I'm glad that we did it at the county level, but we need to do more at the state.
Tracy Happel, how do you view the job situation in the 94th, and what more can be done? What would you propose as a legislator?
Not only in our district, but not only in our state, but also in our district, our unemployment rate is a little bit lower than the national average, and that's wonderful. Here in the district, in La Crosse County, we have a variety of people, and they all have different strengths, and they all have different interests. We have the hospitals, we have the universities, we have the schools, we have small business, we have the McDonald's, and you know the jobs that people need that get them to the next level, and we have people to fill those jobs and to work with the universities, to work with the businesses in town to get those kids who are attending our universities here to stay in our region and continue those jobs, and to look at the people who live in our district already who are looking to move into a different job, and working with the businesses, working with the people, and bringing people together through ingenuity, creativity, and what their interests are.
Let's next talk about taxes. I want to get your thoughts on the state of Wisconsin taxes, and this could be a variety of different taxes. Are you happy with the way taxing is taken care of right now? And as a legislator, how would you maybe change any part of the tax code? Tracy Happel?
Thanks. So I really believe in limited government and lower taxes. I think that's a statement that resonates with everybody. The more money we can keep in our pocket, the more money we can put back in the economy, the stronger our economy is, the more choices people have, the happier people are. That's I think, the bottom line, what everybody wants. I'd like to see our taxes being used for things that our community needs. We need schools. We need roads. We need transportation. We need a good military in our area. We need things that are going to protect our people and make them become better people. But other than that, lowering the taxes is what's needed, and we've done that so much. We've done that through various means, most notably Act 10, where we've given had tax cuts. I think the latest number I heard was $322 per person. That's a lot of money in your pocket. That's a lot of butter. That's, you know, a couple trips to the movies for a few months. That maybe is a trip to the Dells. To continue those tax breaks, those tax cuts for people, and getting money back into people's pockets.
Steve Doyle, your thoughts on the current tax codes and any possible changes in the future?
The problem that I had with the couple of times in the last couple of years that Governor Walker has proposed tax cuts is that it hasn't been targeted at the people that need help the most. I mean, the people who actually have the greatest ability to pay, the wealthier folks, have really gotten the best benefit. There was a proposal that my party put forward and that I supported called the First Dollar Credit. And what that does is it helps people with the tax that is the most unpopular tax that we have, and that is the property tax. Folks that are especially in situations like they're on a fixed income, or perhaps they just got divorced, or they just had children, or what have you, find themselves in a very difficult situation trying to being able to pay their property taxes. What the First Dollar Credit does is it says the first $30,000 of property value that you have in your home is exempt from the property tax. So if you live in a very modest house, that's going to reduce your property tax. If you're, you know, in a house that obviously every house is over $30,000 in value, you're still going to pay some property taxes. But people at the lower end of the ability to pay get a break. And that really, I think, is something that resonates with folks, because when that property tax bill comes around once a year, I mean, that is one of the most depressing things for people to receive. And some people just don't know how they're going to make those payments. To give that group of people the break that they really need. I think any time that we have the ability to cut taxes, that's where we should aim it.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, it's the 94th State Assembly District Candidate Forum with Democratic incumbent Steve Doyle and his Republican challenger, Tracy Happel. They're both von Alaska, and they'll face off in the November 4th election. Next, let's talk about health care. There are a lot of opinions about how Wisconsin has handled the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Is there anything you'd like to see the state doing differently when it comes to health care, especially how it relates to the Affordable Care Act? And as a legislator, what would you do to change that? Steve Doyle?
Well, first of all, you know, I know that I've been seeing these ads around the state where people are being accused of trying to push to expand Obamacare and so forth. And it's interesting because those are being aimed at people in the state legislature, and we have nothing to do with Obamacare. I mean, that's a decision that was made at the federal level. What we have the ability to make a decision over, though, is the Medicaid expansion money that the federal government has offered. And I think that that was a huge mistake that the governor made in rejecting that money. And here's why. We have paid that money in Wisconsin to the federal government. Those are our dollars that went from Wisconsin to Washington. And Washington is saying, we'll give you that money back if you would like it. Basically, no strings attached in terms of if that money ever runs out, if it ever is reduced by even $1, Wisconsin the very next day could say, we're out, we're done, we're not taking any more, we're not being bound by your rules. That, between now and 2022, would mean an additional $2 billion for the state of Wisconsin. Right now, we're talking about the possibility of a shortfall, a structural deficit in our state biennial budget. The money that would come in just for that alone, the $400 and some million, would be a huge plug for that shortfall in one fell swoop. I don't understand why we would not take money that is already ours and just simply take it back.
And Tracy Happel, your thoughts on how Wisconsin's handled the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, and as a legislator, maybe what you would do differently or not do differently?
I would focus more on our district and the health care options we have in our region. Obamacare is a federal program, and as a legislature, we can't do much about that. We can focus on our region, and our region has two of the best medical facilities in the world. There are people who come from all over the world to receive medical care here. We have incredibly brilliant people within those medical facilities. Our state itself has had some of the best health care coverage in the country, in the nation. We have 93% of our citizens covered. So the remaining people, some don't want to be covered. Some do fall through the cracks, and we need to look at those people, and we need to find a way to help them get the health care that they want and that they need. When Governor Walker came into office, his first year here, he increased our funding by $1 million, and that helped cover a lot more people. So we already have strong health care in Wisconsin. There's no reason to change anything. We need to focus on our region and our area and not worry about what government is doing in Washington.
So over the last few years, the legislature has made many changes or has passed many laws regarding women's access to reproductive health care. This includes there's now a law that requires a woman to have an ultrasound that's described in detail by her doctor before she chooses to have an abortion. Governor Walker eliminated family planning dollars to the state's budget, which has resulted in closures of clinics like Planned Parenthood across the state. So what are your thoughts on rules and laws pertaining to women's health care, and do you think that the governor and the legislature have acted appropriately? Have they gone too far? What are your thoughts on these rules? Tracy?
Well, as a woman, I'm particularly interested in this topic, but the bottom line is health care is important for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a woman, a man, or a child. We all need health care. So we have, like I said, 93% coverage in Wisconsin. We have great health care facilities here. It doesn't matter who you are, what gender you are, what matters is to receive good quality health care.
But what about the reproductive issues?
You know, I believe in the right to privacy. And what a woman and her doctor discuss is between the two of them. I don't think it's anybody's business to get involved with that. I believe in making good choices for not only yourself, but for your future and your child's future. I think that is something that's left between a woman and her doctor, and I don't think it's anybody's business.
And Steve Doyle, your thoughts on women's reproductive health care laws that have been passed in Wisconsin and also just reproductive rights?
That was such a contentious issue in the last session of the legislature, and it was really unfortunate because I likewise agree that it really should be a matter of privacy. Ms. Happel was endorsed by the Wisconsin Right to Life, so I think that explains where her position on that issue is. I have a much more nuanced opinion on that issue, and it has to do with the fact that I was raised a Catholic and I still am a Catholic, and I still have a lot of the Catholic views with regard to the issue of abortion, but I am not a Catholic legislator. I am a legislator representing the people of the state of Wisconsin, in particular the 94th District, and I have to follow the laws, and in particular I have to follow the Constitution. And so in that regard, I voted against the various provisions that were proposed in this last session, including the forced ultrasound, the requirement for admitting privileges. I was opposed to the cutting of the family planning dollars because I think that, in particular, that is just irresponsible and is just asking for more unwanted pregnancies. It's really unfortunate that it turned out to be such a political issue because it should really be a private issue. And people have a lot of moral feelings on that issue, and I respect all aspects of those particular issues. But when those issues are thrust in front of us, my feeling is that we have to follow the Constitution, not follow our moral beliefs, even though it may feel awkward to us. We are elected to follow the Constitution, and that is what I have done.
We're going to take a quick break, but I'm going to give each of you a minute to rebuttal or just if there's anything else you wanted to follow up on, and we'll do that after the second half too. But Steve Doyle, is there anything else you want to add before we take a break?
No, I think we're good.
Tracy Happel?
I do want to clarify just with your comment, your question about the reproductive health. I do not believe in abortion. I would never advocate for that in any way, shape, or form. I'm a teacher. Children are my passion and my life. I would never do anything. I would not encourage that in any way, shape, or form because it's a child.
Republican Tracy Happel is running in the 94th State Assembly District, and she is facing Democratic incumbent Steve Doyle. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Coming up next, our forum continues with the 94th Assembly District candidates as they talk about education, infrastructure, and the voter ID law. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find links to the candidates' websites. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCullum. With the midterm elections approaching on November 4th, candidates only have a few more weeks of campaigning ahead of them. In the state's 94th Assembly District, Democrat incumbent Steve Doyle is being challenged by Republican Tracy Happel. Both candidates live in Onalaska and, if elected, would represent La Crosse County residents in Bangor, West Salem, Shelby, and Holman. The candidates are here today to talk about some of the issues in the race. They each have a minute and a half to answer the question. Tracy, I know we left you on the rebuttal, so I guess we'll just start with you.
Sure.
On the first question. Let's dive into education. One of the things, especially when it comes to K-12 education, that I hear from administrators throughout Southwest Wisconsin is that the state really needs to address the school funding formula. Is this an issue that you see as needed and important in the 94th district? And if so, how would you approach this topic?
Right. Being in the public schools, especially in this district, it's something that I'm, aware of as a teacher. The school funding affects my classroom every day. It's something we need to look at. It's something we need to consider. We need to get all the parties involved and consider what we need to do. I don't know all the details. I'm not an accounting person, but I look forward to learning about it and doing what's best for our schools and for the kids in our schools.
Steve Doyle, school funding formula?
The state funding formula is a really complicated approach to funding our schools, and it's really, I would say, an anachronism at this point. Right now, the way that it essentially plays out across the state is that areas in suburban Milwaukee do very well under that formula. Areas around the rest of the state, including La Crosse area, do not do very well. It just isn't fair to look at things that really shouldn't be a factor. What we really should look at is how many kids are in the school, what is the school's ability to self-fund, because you have property-wealthy communities and you have property-poor communities, so we have to take that in as a factor. And how do we get kids really on the same page? And that really isn't the case right now. But unfortunately, that is such a political issue, because if we were to make that more fair for western Wisconsin, you know, people screaming over in southeast Wisconsin. So, again, it's one of those issues where the two parties have to sit down together and say, you know, Democrats, some of your people are doing well and other people aren't doing well. Republicans, same with you folks. Can we try to do something that both parties can live with to tweak that formula so that we do recognize the current reality of our school district needs throughout the state?
What are some other K-12 education issues that are on the forefront of your mind?
Well, clearly the biggest issue that we're hearing talked about these days are two things, vouchers and Common Core. With regard to vouchers, I went to Aquinas High School. My kids went to Aquinas High School. Actually, my parents went to Aquinas. I very much believe in the right to have people send their kids to whatever school they choose to. What I don't believe in is the obligation of people who choose not to go to the private school to pay for those private schools. I actually worked all the way through high school from age 14 to 18 every day after school and every weekend to pay my own tuition at Aquinas, and I didn't see anything wrong with that. I do have a concern when you have, let's say, a couple on a fixed income that don't have kids in school, don't even have grandkids in school maybe, being told that not only do you have to pay for your own school district, but now you have to pay for private schools too. It's no different than, you know, there's a company, Ed O'Brien, a gentleman I know from Holman, who has a security company that does private security for Oktoberfest and things like that. What if I said, you know, if I ever need a police officer, I want to call Ed's company so I don't have to pay taxes for the police department. I'll use my neighbor's hose if I have a fire, so I don't want to pay for the fire department. I mean, our structure would collapse if everybody opted out of all of those things, and I don't think education is any different. If you want to send your kids to a private school, that should be your right, but I don't think other people should be required to pay for that.
And Tracy Happel, other major K-12 issues that are on the forefront of your mind?
No, as an educator, vouchers and Common Core. And actually, I would actually flip those Common Core and then vouchers are on the forefront of my mind. I think the big misconception with vouchers is that it's an extra tax burden, and it's not. It's actually taking money that's already taxpayers' money and giving them a portion of it back and moving that toward whatever school that they want to go to. Parents are children's first educators, teachers, and they know their kid best. They should be able to choose the school that they go to with the money that they're already paying in taxes toward public schools. Public schools are never going to go away. We will always need public schools. So vouchers, you know, they can benefit everybody, the entire community, the schools, and the families. Common Core, on the other hand, is a federal mandate. It's unconstitutional. End of story. It's not okay. The communities know schools best, know their students best, what their students need for the community, for the area. Common Core takes away the autonomy from teachers and classrooms. It provides children with a source of frustration, and it's so complicated, it's so intricate, and it is a detriment to our schools.
So you both mentioned Common Core, and I'm maybe wondering if we should expand on it a little more. You know, Tracy, you said that you're not a fan of Common Core. Mm-hmm. So what can the state do? What do you hope the state does to address the issue?
Mm-hmm. First of all, what I hope, Governor Walker offered up a challenge to the legislature in the January session. Take a look at Common Core. Is this something we really need as a state, or can we do better? As an educator, as a mom, we can do better. We used to have something called the Wisconsin Academic Model Standards. Those were pretty good standards. We were doing really well under those standards. Wisconsin has one of the best public education systems in the country. People love it here. It's hard to find a job here because there's such excellent teachers here. I lost my train of thought.
It's okay.
With Common Core, however, oh my gosh, what was I just saying?
That's okay. If you need to take a minute to collect yourself.
I got off on this tangent. With Common Core, what Wisconsin Model Academic Standards, that's correct, I'm sorry. So we have these standards that we used to operate under, and they were doing really well. We also have standards from Minnesota that we could look at. We have standards from Massachusetts we could look at. We have standards from California we could look at that are highly successful, and the schools are doing wonderful under them. We don't need the federal government to tell us what to do. We need local schools, local community members, local educators telling us what is best for our kids.
And Steve Doyle, how would you like to see the state of Wisconsin address the Common Core issue?
Well, I disagree that Common Core is a federal mandate, because if it was a federal mandate, you couldn't get out of it. And some states have talked about getting out of it, and some states have gotten out of it. What it is a state initiative that came about through both governors and school superintendents throughout the country that has been supported by the federal government, both financially and simply saying we think it's a good idea. The first thing that we need to do, though, is get politicians out of education. I mean, that is, I think, the biggest problem right now, turning education into a partisan issue. It's a huge mistake that both parties are doing, turning that into a partisan issue. I have talked to every school administrator in the 94th District. I have talked to most of the school board members in the 94th District and many teachers in the 94th District. And almost unanimously, I'm hearing people say, keep your hands off of this Common Core stuff. In La Crosse, for example, they have spent between $1 million and $1.5 million already trying to get ready for Common Core, and it's already being implemented. Other school districts in the 94th have spent, you know, equivalent amounts of money depending upon their school district size. Give our local school boards the ability to make the decisions that they need to. Don't say we have to get out of Common Core even if we don't want to, and I'm saying that at the school district level. If La Crosse wants to be in Common Core, let them. We should not have the state legislature stick its nose in and say we must have Common Core or we must not have Common Core. That's the first thing that we've got to do.
Let's dive into a couple local issues that are really unique to the 94th District, one of them being the Badger-Cooley Transmission Line Project.
Mm-hmm.
This has been proposed by American Transmission Company and Xcel Energy and would create 345 kilovolt power lines traveling from the La Crosse area to the Madison area. If the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin approves the project, it could take one of two routes. One would go through Onalaska. What are your thoughts on the project or the routes? And although this is a PSC, it's their ultimate decision, what can you do as a legislator? Steve Doyle?
Unfortunately, what they have presented us with is a lose-lose proposition. So do we run it through Onalaska or do we run it through Holman? I mean, which group of people loses in that regard? And that just is not fair. I had great concerns when CapEx came into the state, and this picks up where CapEx left off. I had great concerns bringing it into the state and bringing it down into the Holman area in the first place, because we knew it was going to go somewhere from there and that it was going to cause a lot of problems, because both routes that they are currently looking at go past schools, they go past business areas, they go past homes. The one through Onalaska would affect the property that Mayo Health Facility just bought. There are a lot of reasons for opposing both. The problem is that the way that the law currently reads, it almost doesn't matter what local officials have to say and even what local people have to say. I have encouraged folks to write to the Public Service Commission. I hope that the members of the PSC listen and read those things. I quite honestly don't know that they really do, and that's really unfortunate. So the first thing I would say with regard to that issue is we need to change the law to have greater local input of what happens. If it's going to run through our communities, we should have some say over that.
Tracy Happel, your thoughts on the Badger-Cooley line?
Right. When I've been out meeting people and talking with people at their homes and in small businesses, this is a huge concern for everybody in the district. I hear it over and over and over, and I hear relentlessly that people don't want it. But unfortunately, it's not a choice. It's not do we want it or not want it. It's where do you want it, Holman or Onalaska? We have to pick the lesser of two evils. Unfortunately, again, we have to look at what the people want, what's best for them. We have to listen to them. We have to talk to them, work with the power line company and really think about our region and how it's going to affect us.
So there, another 94th district issue. There are talks that funding for the north-south corridor running through the city of La Crosse up to Onalaska and beyond, that funding could be yanked by the State Department of Transportation. And historically, people living within the northern part of the 94th district have supported this project, but haven't really had much of a say in its future. So what's your position on the funding of the corridor? Should residents have a say? And as a legislator, could you weigh in on what's going on with this project? Tracy Happel?
Yes, I believe in local control of government. I do believe that people should have a say on the funding and where it comes from and who's going to pay for that. But again, I think it goes into a broader issue of the economy. I mean, if we want to continue that ease of traffic flow and back and forth to reach the businesses and services on the south side, and the south side coming up to the north side to reach our business services and keeping those two economies running smoothly together, it's something we have to consider. We have to ask the people what they think. Not only the residents, but the businesses as well. How is this impacting you? How will it impact you? As a legislator, I do believe in, again, listening to the people within the district and seeing what they have to say and bringing it back to Madison and saying, this is what I'm hearing. This is what we need to do.
And Steve Doyle, North-South Corridor.
This is an issue that's been around for a long, long time and that I first dealt with even before I became chair on the county board. We were talking about this issue, and there is a lot of money sitting in that account right now, hundreds of millions of dollars, that if we don't figure out at least some sort of tentative way forward, that money is going to go probably to southeast Wisconsin. I mean, that money is going to get spent in the Milwaukee area like the rest of the transportation fund predominantly seems to be doing these days. What we really need to do is to sit down with the Department of Transportation, and I know our local governments are doing that, and as a current member of the county board, I've been involved in some of that myself, where we need to sit down with them and look at the parameters of what those funds can be used for. We can't say, for example, well, we're going to use it just to do mass transit. We can't say we're going to use it to do a route on the other side of the bluff through Madary and Barrie. We have to look at the specific language of that funding that is there right now and determine what we can do to preserve it so that we can hopefully in the next legislative session change that law just a little bit to say the La Crosse area has the ability to not just use it for that specific north-south corridor purpose as it was defined 20-some years ago, but we also can use it for slightly different purposes. In other words, open up the book for the options that we have to present to the people in La Crosse area for what's going to work best for us. Right now, it doesn't work that way. We need to make a change in the law before we lose that money.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, a forum with the candidates for the 94th Assembly District, Democratic incumbent Representative Steve Doyle and his Republican challenger, Tracy Happel. Both are of Onalaska, and they'll face off in the November 4th election. The implementation of Wisconsin's voter ID law has been put on hold and will not impact the November election, but it hasn't been ruled out for future elections and could be in play this next year. What are your thoughts on the voter ID law and how might it affect residents in the 94th district? Steve Doyle?
I think that the voter ID law was a very unfortunate thing that our state and many states around the country have done. For generations, we have done everything that we can to make it easier for people to vote. We went from having only white, wealthy landowners being able to vote to minorities being able to vote, women being able to vote, people between 18 and 21 being able to vote, making it easier to do voting by absentee or early voting and so forth. And now suddenly, within the last couple of years, We've heard this, kind of this drumbeat of, oh, we have to deal with this fraud. There has not been any evidence of any significant fraud that would be cured by voter ID. I mean, if people are going to vote twice, there's going to be ways that they would do it without having an ID. I mean, if they want to impersonate somebody else, or if they want to vote in two states, or whatever the case may be, but there simply have been no evidences of that thing happening. And instead, what we're doing is we're saying, in particular, two groups of people, poor people and older people, are essentially being disenfranchised, and that just isn't fair. We are also telling our local clerks that you cannot be open more than so many hours per week to allow people to vote. I mean, if Marilyn Pedretti in the town of Holland wants to allow somebody to vote at 8 o'clock at night, she's willing to come in to open up the town hall to let them do that, she should be able to do that. But the law now says, nope, you can't do that. We should not be making it more difficult for people to vote. We should be making it easier for people to vote.
And Tracy Happel, voter ID?
Right. Voter ID is voting in our country is just the epitome act of patriotism, of voting, the democratic process. It's what makes America America. We get to choose our officials. What's nice is the community services have come forward and said, we want to help people with this process. We want to help them to be able to vote. So we're going to provide transportation. We're going to dig through records to find any birth certificates that need to come up. We're going to help people get out of their house. We're going to fill out absentee ballots. We're going to do all of this stuff for them. It's wonderful for people who need any sort of assistance whatsoever. We need IDs to do everything, to check your phone records, to, at the cell phone store, to rent a movie, you need an ID, all kinds of things. Constitutionally, you need an ID to buy a gun or to have conceal and carry license. Having an ID to vote is just constitutional. It's a way to protect our freedoms as an American.
So the issue of plagiarism has come up a couple times throughout this election season. First, we heard that gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke's job plan contained passages from other candidates. And then, Tracy, I know there was a report that on your website there were passages from an Iowa candidate's website. And I'm wondering if you can address that. But, let's just talk about the bigger picture of this issue. Just the issue of candidates borrowing ideas from each other, using consultants, et cetera, versus the idea of creating original thoughts and ideas to supplement one's own campaign promises. Tracy, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So, the conservative values are pretty much the same across the board. I think same with the Democrat values, what they believe in. What we believe in is what we believe in. And you're going to get a lot of the same phrases and a lot of the same ideals and beliefs. And we believe we're powerful in what we believe in. We're strong in what we believe in. And we reiterate it and we use it, we say it, we live it and we breathe it.
Steve Doyle, thoughts on plagiarism?
I think plagiarism was not a legitimate issue when it came to Mary Burke, and I think plagiarism is not a legitimate issue when it comes to Tracy Happel. I mean, I just don't. I hate to say this, but politicians don't have original ideas. I mean, we borrow from other people. Scott Walker's jobs plan is no different than jobs plans of many other people running for governor on the Republican ticket in other states. So what? Take the best ideas from wherever you find them and try to use them. So, I knew about that. People sent me the Journal Sentinel story, within an hour after it ran, and I said, we're not going anywhere on this. This is just a dumb issue. Ms. Happel is running for the first time. She got on the ballot kind of late, and I'm sure she had to scramble and come up with, what can I put on my website? Oh, here's a person I agree with their positions. Let's just borrow that stuff. I don't have a problem with that. That's just fine for her to do. What is more important is knowing what we stand for, not whose words we use to express that. She chose a person who, Joni Ernst from Iowa, who is endorsed by Tea Party Express. If that is, who she looks to for guidance, that certainly is not who I would look to for guidance. I try to look around and find the best and brightest ideas from around the country from moderate people in both parties. And I think that's what people should look at is, Where do you get your inspiration, not what word you use?
So we're running short on time. Steve Doyle, I'm wondering if you can, if you have about 30 seconds just to wrap up, final thoughts on this upcoming election.
You know, I think that this is a really critical choice that people have here. Quite honestly, what we're really lacking in Madison are people in the middle. There's an organization called the Sunlight Foundation that is a nonpartisan organization looking at bipartisanship across the country. They looked at Wisconsin. They said in Wisconsin, in the state legislature, Steve Doyle is the third most moderate Democrat in the state legislature. There's nobody that really is exactly in the middle or crosses over to the other side, but they said, I'm right in the very close to the middle. I think that's what we need in Wisconsin, is people in the middle, because that's what politics is all about.
And Tracy Happel, 30 seconds, final thoughts on this race?
Sure. You know, I'm really excited. You look, it's interesting. You look back on your life story and you think, how did I get to where I am today? And, you know, God has let me down this incredible path from beginning to be a teacher and a mom and a wife. And here I am running for public office. You know, I look back on all of the things that have led me to here, my Senate hearings that I've done in Minnesota and Wisconsin, being on a bipartisan national education board, and now suddenly running for public office and representing people, working with all kinds of people, diversity issues, everything. I'm just thrilled that I can have this opportunity.
Tracy Happel is a Republican running for the 94th State Assembly District seat. She's challenging Democratic incumbent Representative Steve Doyle. Both are from Onalaska, and they'll face off in the November 4th election. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find links to Doyle's and Happel's websites, as well as Wisconsin Vote website. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.